Hello and welcome to the Las Vegas Fans UK podcast. Please note this podcast is opinion based and any conversations or answers given within should be taken subjectively, and particularly with matters regarding immigration, passport, anything serious, please do double check all the information. Hello and welcome to the second ever podcast from Las Vegas Fans UK. As always and forevermore, I am your host Duncan Price. Hope you enjoyed our first instalment, came out a week or two ago, and I thought I'd get on with answering some more of your questions, the ones that I didn't have time to get to first time round. So we might as well just crack on, I guess. So the first one I have on my list here is from Linda Baker. She says, Vegas on a budget, people's tips on saving a few dollars. Now, Linda, this is an absolutely brilliant question, and I'm going to be very intentionally vague and say that I think I probably will do a podcast in the future on how to sort of budget for Vegas. There are a few videos online. In fact, one of our members, who unfortunately her name escapes me, but she did a really good video on saving some money in Vegas. So have a search using the search function on our group page. You should be able to find that, and I can always try and find a link if anyone's missed out on it. So thank you very much for the question, Linda. I'm going to be intentionally vague, and as I say, hopefully we'll do a podcast on that another time. So the next question is from Samantha Wood. Quite an amusing question here. Who thinks Vegas should have a huge water park with slides and a kids' arcade with slots and grabbers, etc.? I mean, it's a really good idea. It'd definitely be a good idea for a nice hot day. Get plenty of them in Vegas, obviously. So, yeah, a lovely water park somewhere close to the strip would be fantastic. Someone did point out, and they're correct in saying that there are a few water parks round and about Vegas, one of the most popular ones being Wet n Wild, but you do need a car to get to them, so that's the only downside at the moment with the water park. So yeah, if someone could build one close to the strip, that would be absolutely fantastic. Next question comes from Laura Harris. She says, best places for drinks to watch the world go by. I had in my mind one place, which was Hex, which is located just outside Paris Las Vegas Hotel. I thought that would be a really good place. And actually, I think it must have sort of sprung up since I last went in 2016. There is actually a place above Hex called Beer Park, which kind of has the same view, but just from higher up. So those would be my two suggestions. So as I say, they're just outside the Paris Hotel. They're kind of opposite the Bellagio fountains, although the tree line kind of obscures the fountains themselves. I'm not actually sure from Beer Park whether you get a better view, obviously, because you're slightly higher. I'm not too sure. But certainly that is a big intersection for people walking past. You know, you've got your sort of street theatre, all that sort of stuff, and you will at least hear the music probably from the Bellagio fountains, even if you can't quite see them. So to answer your question of somewhere to sort of watch the world go by, watch the people going past, and you know, all the different, you know, what people are wearing, and you know, like I say, street theatre, things like that, those two places, essentially the same place but one under another, that would be my suggestion. Our next question is from Catherine Thompson. She says, what was the first hotel built on the Las Vegas Strip? Now, not the first hotel built in the Las Vegas area, but certainly the first one on the Strip was El Rancho Vegas, which opened on April the 3rd, 1941, and had 63 rooms. The casino stood for almost 20 years before being destroyed in a fire in 1960. The first one, I think, which is kind of still going, although I believe it was kind of rebuilt at some point. I don't think it's on the exact same plot as it originated on, but that would be the Flamingo, which opened in 1946. So that is, you know, probably the one that has been there the longest and still exists. Most of the rest of them have either been torn down or you know, suffered a you know, fire, irreparable damage, something like that. So yeah, some interesting facts there anyway. Okay, so our next question is from Angela White. She says, what's happening with Fontainebleau? Will it ever open? That's a very good question, Angela. Thank you for asking. Some of you will be familiar with the building. From memory, I think it stands just north of the old Riviera plot. And it's, I think, about 60% finished, or it was when they sort of stopped construction. So it looks like the shell of a hotel. You can see it the outside. But obviously, you know, it's quite clearly not occupied or anything. So that's as it stands at the moment. It was essentially a victim of the recession, the worldwide recession, and the developers just ran out of money, basically. Ran into a few other problems, I think, but essentially it was the lack of money that kind of put pay to it, you know, getting up and running. But good news, Angela, if that was somewhere you were wanting to stay, because I did a little bit of research and it's recently been purchased and they've requested funding to finish off the project. So it actually looks at this stage like it will finally be completed and put into service as an operational hotel. So keep your eye out for that one. You know, just keep an eye on the Las Vegas news, you know, any of their sites, any of the sites that provide local news for Las Vegas, they'll probably be able to give you more information as we go along. The following question from Angela's is from Caroline McCarthy Gullin. She says, is it better to start at one end of the strip and work your way down? Are bus tickets bought on the bus or at the station? Thank you in advance. Thank you for the question, Caroline. Is it better to start at one end of the strip and work your way down? I mean, it depends what you want to do. Obviously, if you're wanting to go from somewhere to somewhere, then, I mean, that's all you need to do, really. If you're kind of meaning more like, almost like doing like a little tour, then, yeah, I would say, yeah, start at one end or the other and just get off periodically in between and, you know, visit the sort of hotels and attractions in that vicinity. But, I mean, it's not really a sightseeing tour per se. The buses are not, you can, if you're on the top deck, you can look out, but you're not going to get a sense necessarily of what's going on in that area or be able to see anything particularly meaningful. You will need to sort of hop on and hop off. But that is the beauty with the tickets on the Deuce or the Strip and Downtown Express. Because they are sort of time limited rather than, you know, place to place limited, i.e. you can use them for 24 hours rather than they get you from A to B. It means you can hop on and off as much as you like. So actually, if you are going to sort of allocate a day to just kind of, you know, go up and down the strip and just pop into places, then yeah, starting at one end on the bus, you know, and just getting off periodically is actually quite a good way to do it. In terms of the tickets, I think on the smaller routes, you can buy them from the driver, but certainly on the strip and downtown, you have to have the ticket already before you get on. Most of the stops on the strip, for the Deuce and Strip and Downtown Express have a ticket machine. So I would always advise buy a ticket before you get on. It's not massively complicated. You're just essentially, you know, putting in how long you want the ticket for, 24 hours, 2 days, etc. And paying for it. Bob's your uncle, you've got the ticket, and then you don't have to worry about it. So that would be, in my opinion, the best way to do it. Find a stop with a ticket machine and just get your ticket in advance. So the next question is from Jean Ann Goodbrand. She says, how's Vegas for vegetarians? Well, this is a difficult one for me to answer because I'm not a vegetarian and have no intention of going down that route personally. But obviously, 100% respect for people that do want to do it like that. And I think there never used to be that good options for vegetarians. It was always, you know, kind of the odd hotel would have a restaurant that catered to vegetarians, or, you know, certainly the restaurants were few and far between. But obviously, as time moves on and, you know, culture changes, I think there are a lot more restaurants that cater for vegetarians now. So that's great news. You know, you want to be as inclusive as you can. From my point of view, though, I can't really recommend one. So what I would say, and this is a bit of a cop-out answer, but if you go online and type in something like Vegas for Vegetarians into Google, I think there was actually a website called Vegas for Vegetarians, but I don't believe it's been updated very recently. So, but what it will bring up is things like, you know, top 10 vegetarian restaurants in Vegas from TripAdvisor, Vegas.com, Thrillist, things like that. And then you can kind of use that to compare it to other things and work out where it might be worth going to. But yeah, I mean, in terms of how it is for vegetarians now, as I say, still probably not as good as a lot of places, but I think they are making progress. So hopefully you'll find something, you know, delicious to eat while you're out there. Okay. So Donna Willett says, looking for a chapel to renew our wedding vows, but not too pricey. Now, there were a couple of questions regarding weddings, and I'm going to have to put my hands up and basically say I know next to absolutely nothing about getting married in Vegas. By no means my area of expertise. What I would say is there's plenty of stuff online that you can look at. Sort of resource wise that will help. Also, obviously, if you want to post something on the group, if you want to throw a question out there on the group, feel free to do so. If you do search weddings on the group, we have had questions like that asked before, and you will probably get a ton of information. So that would be one route to go down. And also, I do believe, don't quote me, but I do believe there is actually another Facebook group somewhere that is kind of for, you know, Brits wanting to get married in the US. So we're not an inclusive, exclusive group. If I think there's another group that will benefit other people that are in our group, then I'll tell them about it. I don't necessarily want to promote it on the page per se, because then we get into muddy waters. But like I say, if that group's out there and that will help you, by all means, Donna, go find that group and, you know, hopefully they'll be able to give you some more specific advice. Here we go. Next question is from Lorna Rumford. What is the best footwear to wear? Trainers and me don't get on. My feet will be rank. Well, that's obviously a personal thing to you, Lorna. Can't wear flip-flops or sandals, as although cool, not comfy. So what is as cool as a sandal but as comfy as trainers? I know I'm going to walk miles. Now, this is another very, very, very good question, and another question we do get quite a lot on the group, to be fair. Personally, I think the best option, kind of as a halfway house, is something like Skechers. I find them nice and comfy. I wouldn't say they're wide, but they're not sort of restrictive to the toes, so you've got a bit more freedom, you know, for movement in the feet. Most of them have like a mesh above where the sort of your toes and the, you know, the bulk of your foot is. So it's not like an all leather boot or an all leather shoe, which is going to keep that sort of moisture and everything in. You know, they are quite breathable. So that would be my suggestion personally. I know probably technically they're trainers, but, you know, they're kind of on the walking side of trainers rather than, you know, like playing sport or anything. Also, there are a couple of Skechers outlets in Vegas. So, you know, if you wanted to just get a pair to try, you know, they're likely to have some, you know, relatively cheap, and you can give them a go, see how you get on with them. Our next question comes from Samantha Wood, and she asks, is there a chippy on the strip? Well, very good question, Samantha, and a question that a lot of Brits will be interested in, because if there's one thing we like to know when we go abroad, it's where's the nearest fish and chip shop. So luckily for everyone, there is a rather good one. It's called Gordon Ramsay Fish and Chips. It's one of Gordon Ramsay's many eateries in Vegas. It's located on the Link Promenade, so essentially next to the Link, on that sort of, promenade is probably the best word for it, really, of restaurants, and obviously it leads all the way down to the High Roller. There's some shops and stuff there as well, and right near the top, near the strip, is Gordon Ramsay Fish and Chips. So that should do the job for any Brits hankering after a good old-fashioned fish and chips in Vegas. Celebrity hangouts. This is a question from Tina Merry. She says, most famous celeb you've spotted. Mine is meeting Gordon Ramsay opening his fish and chip shop. There you go. So we've already got an endorsement from Tina. She visited the fish and chip shop, so that'll be good news for Samantha with her question. And meeting Gordon Ramsay. Yeah, that's quite a big celebrity. Mine's not as big as that. I've been to quite a few UFC fights, and I've done UFC expos and stuff. So depending on whether you count them as celebrities, I've met a heck of a lot of them. Probably the only other one I can think of off the top of my head, and I didn't actually go up to him because he looked in rather a hurry, but I did see David Guest, ex-husband of Liza Minnelli, now sadly passed, God rest his soul. He was getting a taxi from outside the Cosmo, so that was a bit weird. But I didn't have the guts to sort of interrupt him while he was trying to get into his taxi to get a picture or anything. So that's about it, really. No one particularly famous. I'm a little bit sad about that. Yeah, just is what it is. I obviously don't hang out in the same haunts as they do. So yeah, hopefully that answers your question, Tina. I know a lot of people have met more famous people. I'm sure you'll find out about those in due course. Phil Bentley asks, how do you get tickets for Hyde at Bellagio on Saturday nights? Well, Phil, as we've ascertained, I'm not an expert on sort of nightclubs and things like that. Not necessarily my kind of scene, per se. But in my experience, very exclusive and very expensive clubs on a Saturday night, you need to have a high ratio of women to men and a lot of money. That's basically the two criteria. Also, if you're staying at the hotel where the big club that you're attending is, that can sometimes help as well, because the concierge can sometimes give you a bit of a leg up in terms of getting in there and getting entry. So hopefully that kind of answers your question, Phil. And hopefully you'll get there one day. I believe in you. So the last question we're going to do today is from Samantha Rees. She says, visiting in June and are there for our 25th wedding anniversary, where can we go on the day that doesn't cost the earth? I just clarified with Samantha whether she was talking about, some like an attraction or a show or somewhere to eat. And she said somewhere to eat. So I had a little look, and they're staying at the Wynn, which is lovely. I'm going to be staying there in about a week's time, so that'll be even better. My suggestion, if you want to keep it really, really local, to the Wynn and actually in the Wynn, my suggestion would probably be Sinatra. And in terms of if you're willing to go on a bit of a walk, you know, it's your wedding anniversary, might be nice to go for a little stroll. Outside Paris, Las Vegas, you've got Mon Ami Gabi. Probably haven't pronounced that right, but that's the best you're going to get. Which is like a French bistro, so I guess akin, but way better than like a Café Rouge or something over here. So those would be my two suggestions. Not too far from, you know, Paris isn't too far from where you're going to be at the Wynn. It's about halfway sort of further down. And obviously, if you want to just stay local, then obviously Sinatra would be my suggestion for somewhere at the Wynn. Anyway, I hope all that information's been of some use to you guys today. I have a few questions that I still haven't answered, so they'll probably be coming along on a third podcast at some point, probably after I get back from my visit to Vegas now. I'll do a third podcast finishing off the questions that were asked, and then I may do another one kind of as a review of how I got on in my trip, I should say. And then I'll perhaps look at themed ones like, how to get the best bargains and how to plan and all that sort of thing. So hopefully that's all good stuff. Hopefully people are listening to it. Do let me know what you think, either via the group, or you're welcome to DM me if you like. And, I say once again, thank you for listening, and, I'll speak to you again in the near future.